Welcome to Her American Story, a podcast where first and second generation American women share their stories about growing up in the United States. I'm your host, Jazz Bean. To learn more about my guests, visit heramericanstory.com. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at heramstory. Feedback, would you like to be on the show? Send me an email, heramericanstory@gmail.com. I've got another great story for you today, so let's get started.
Hi, so I am Monique Chedda. I'm a dermatologist practicing in Maryland. I do mostly medical dermatology with a little bit of cosmetics. I am married. I have two small children. I have a one-year-old son and a three-year-old daughter. And I'm also a children's book author. My first book, Bindiya in India, will be coming out this fall. It's about an Indian American girl who travels to India for the first time to attend an Indian wedding and meet her extended family. And I'm also Indian American. I was born and raised in Chicago. My parents migrated here from India in the 1970s. And like many immigrants, they didn't come here with a lot. They kind of worked their way up the ladder. My dad was an engineer by profession, but when he came to this country, he was unable to find an engineering job. So he became certified as a nuclear medicine technician and started working for a hospital and kind of established himself that way in Chicago. My mom had a high school education. When she came to this country, she actually was not conversational in English at all. She came from a very conservative family in India, and my parents had a very typical arranged marriage. They actually met on the day of their wedding. And so you can imagine how difficult that must have been to literally meet a stranger, marry that stranger, and then move halfway across the world without knowing anyone and not speaking the language. But luckily, my dad was actually very supportive of her. She really wanted to, get an education. She didn't want to be a stay-at-home or a housewife and a stay-at-home mom. She really wanted to become educated and work. And so my dad actually supported her through community college. And she eventually became very fluent in English and became a respiratory therapist. And I have one younger brother who is 7 years younger than me. And he is a consultant in MBA school. I grew up in a town called Skokie, which is a northern suburb of Chicago. And it was actually very ethnically diverse. I was very fortunate for the way that I grew up. My high school had, I think, over 150 countries represented. I have lots of memories from my childhood of kind of being immersed in all different cultures. Our neighbors were Jewish when we were growing up, and every Passover, they would bring over vegetarian matzo ball soup for my Hindu vegetarian family. And my other neighbor was Chinese, and I remember, always watching her do Tai Chi in her backyard. Even just on my block, there were so many countries represented. So it was really a very unique way to grow up. I think the notion of cultural awareness kind of became ingrained in me from a very young age. And I really kind of developed a respect for all different cultures and kind of had an affinity towards, people who were different than me. So I think I was very lucky in that way.
That's really amazing. Wow. Now, were there quite a few, I guess, South Asian Americans in that community?
There were, yes. There was a pretty big South Asian community. There was a pretty big Jewish community. And then there was a huge immigrant population from all over the world. So it was just a very, very diverse community to grow up in.
That's really neat. Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. We actually had something called the Festival of Cultures in our town, where every country or culture would have their own tent and every kid would get a blank passport book. And you'd have to kind of walk through all the different tents and learn about all the different cultures and their food and their music and dance. And you'd get your passport book stamped along the way. And it was kind of a way to travel the world without actually traveling the world. So that was pretty neat.
So your group of friends growing up must have been extremely diverse then.
Yeah, I would say up until junior high, most of my friends were actually not Indian or South Asian. I had a really diverse group of friends. And then around the time that I went into high school, I started myself becoming more interested in my own culture and my own roots and starting to kind of identify myself as more South Asian. And so I kind of naturally at that point gravitated more towards South Asian kids and had a lot of South Asian friends because of that. And at that time, my parents were also starting to become more interconnected with our South Asian community. And I always loved dancing from when I was little. So I would always choreograph big group performances for all of our South Asian events. And so I actually made a lot of friends that way too, through dance.
That's really cool. Now, as far as college, where'd you end up going?
I went to the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, which was also a very diverse school. When I was applying for colleges, I knew I wanted to go somewhere that was kind of reflective of the world and kind of a very international feel. So I decided to go to University of Michigan. I did end up meeting people from all over the world. So that was a really awesome experience.
Now, did you live in the dorms?
I did live in the dorms for the first 2 years. And then the last 2 years, I got an apartment with some friends.
Yeah. What was the experience like being away from home?
You know, that was the first time that I was ever away from home. And I was very, very close to my family. So that was very actually difficult for me. You know, I think my freshman year particularly was kind of rough because of that, because I was really homesick. But eventually I adjusted and I actually really, really ended up enjoying it.
That's pretty awesome. Now, you have two kids. Were they the inspiration behind writing a book?
Yes, definitely. So, you know, becoming a mother, I really wanted to pass on my culture and my roots to my children. And so I was searching for books that, you know, had South Asian characters or South Asian themes or round characters. And I honestly really could hardly find much. And I was really shocked that there really wasn't a lot. And so I decided to write my own story because of that. And now kind of reflecting back, I think the actual statistic is that I think only 7% of children's books have Asian characters or Asian themes, which is really very little. So I'm really excited about this book that's going to be coming out. And I hope that, you know, it kind of helps to bridge that diversity gap.
Definitely. There's a major lack of representation, I think, of South Asian Americans, although it's getting a little bit better through the years. Now, tell me about your medical school experience. What was that like for you?
So I went to the University of Illinois in Chicago for medical school, and I lived, you know, on campus. And then I went to University of Chicago for residency. So all of my medical training was in Chicago. And I was also very fortunate with that because Chicago is a very diverse city. So I got to interact with patients of all different backgrounds from all different parts of the world. And that was a very important part of my education as well.
Now, how did you meet your husband?
I actually met my husband through an online dating website. We met in residency, actually, and it was an Indian dating website. We did long distance for a while. He was finishing up his radiology residency in Philadelphia, and I was finishing up my dermatology residency in Chicago. And then we ended up getting married right after residency. And then he matched into fellowship at Baltimore at Hopkins. And so we moved to Baltimore after we got married.
Is that where you guys are living now?
We live in Bethesda, Maryland, which okay. is about an hour south of Baltimore, but yes, similar area. Yeah.
Now, Maryland, I think, is pretty diverse, right?
It is. Yeah, definitely, particularly where we are, it is very diverse. Again, it's a very kind of international community and international feel. That was one of the things that I knew when we were looking for places to kind of put down our roots. I knew that it had to be somewhere similar to where I grew up, because I think that was so important in kind of shaping my own perspectives. And I really wanted my kids to kind of have a similar worldview.
Now, do you have family around as well?
My husband's family is on the East Coast. They live mm-hmm. in Jersey, which is about 2.5 hours away from where we are. Mm-hmm. And then my family is still in Chicago.
Now, do you find it fairly easy to pass on language and kind of cultural things? The kids are still pretty little, but yeah. It starts early. So how's that going for you guys?
Yeah, so I try to speak our native language, which is Hindi, mm-hmm. as much as I can at home. My husband doesn't speak it, so that part makes it a little bit tricky. My children are used to hearing us talk in English to each other. So I think they're always going to be more comfortable with English, but I think they're at least familiar with some of the words and, you know, some of the sounds. And so I try as much as I can to kind of incorporate that into our daily routine.
Yeah, it's hard. Now your husband, he understands, but he doesn't speak.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's kind of interesting how it works out. I speak Hindi and Urdu, but my sisters didn't quite, they speak too, but just, it took a little bit more, I guess when they became adults and had more of an interest, then they started speaking more.
Yeah.
But they really were more just able to understand as kids. Now, being in a community where you had a lot of representation, did you feel like you would have benefited from having a book such as the one that you're writing, kind of to see someone like you in a book? I know some folks are just like, well, you know, I had all these people around me, and so I didn't feel like I was missing out. But what do you think?
I think it still would have been helpful. I definitely remember growing up that I don't remember ever having access to books that had South Asian characters or brown characters. So I think it would have been nice to have books kind of be reflective of reality and of diversity. So yeah, I think anyone can benefit from that.
Oh, for sure. Now, do you have a pretty nice collection of diverse books for your girls?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the things that I am really focused on, is kind of making sure that whatever we are reading them is diverse and, you know, is reflective of the world. So I follow a lot of picture book bloggers on Instagram, and they're always pointing out all the new diverse books. So I always make sure to pick those up and read those to my children.
Yeah, it's really amazing how much that whole genre is growing. It's really quite beautiful.
It really is. It is. Yeah, I agree.
Now, you're on social media, right?
I am on social media, yes.
Okay, where can folks follow you?
I actually have two different Instagram handles. For all things dermatology and skin-related, you can follow me at Dr. Monique Cheda, so DrMoniqueCheda. Mm-hmm. And I have a separate handle that kind of focuses more on motherhood and my children's book, and that one is MKCHHEDA.
Awesome. And that's on Instagram?
Yes, they're both on Instagram.
Perfect. And then do you have any Twitter or Facebook?
I don't know. Okay. One social media outlet is enough for me.
It's exhausting. I hear you. And then where can folks find your books?
So you can go to mangoandmarigoldpress.com / Bindiya, Bindiya, in India. Or you can also go to my own website, which is drmoniquecheda.com, and you can order it from either website.
Awesome. And I'll make sure I put these on my website too, so then folks have kind of a way to get to the links just from clicking on there. Now, if you could give advice to a young girl that kind of grew up as you did, as a first-generation American, what advice would you give her?
I think I would say, growing up as a first generation Indian American, or just a first generation immigrant, I think a lot of children kind of feel like they're stuck between two worlds, or trying to hold on to their cultural roots, but then also assimilate into American culture. And sometimes they feel like they have to choose one. I would say that it's definitely possible to kind of honor your roots, but then also be American. And there's definitely a happy medium in between. So you really shouldn't feel like you have to choose, or that you belong to one and not the other, or that you don't belong to either. You kind of pick and choose the things that you like and that work for you, and you kind of make it your own.
And for young mothers that are trying to teach their children and trying to stay afloat with work and marriage and all of that, what advice do you have for us?
I would say that passing on your culture should never feel like it's work. It should never be a chore. It should just be something that you incorporate into your daily life and in whatever way you can, whether that's language, whether that's food, whether that's reading books from your own heritage or your culture. Just finding ways that are fun and that the whole family can enjoy. It should never feel like another thing on your to-do list that you have to check off.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. I'm very excited to get the book for my own kids.
Thank you.
I think it's definitely very inspiring for other young authors and for kids, you know, to see representation, both in the form of authorship and in the form of a character in the actual books themselves. And hopefully we'll see more from you.
Thanks again for listening. Join me next time for another exciting episode. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at HerAMStory. I love feedback. Send me an email at heramericanstory@gmail.com. Music, courtesy of my husband, Justin Rumsing.